This episode is sponsored by Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements. Use promo code CHATFIELDS to receive 20% off your first order from Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements.
Welcome to Chats with the Chatfields, a podcast to expand your idea of what impacts veterinarians, pet owners, and basically all animal lovers in the galaxy as humans. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Jen the Vet.
And I'm Dr. Jason.
And if you have not yet subscribed to our show,
why not?
Just go to chatfieldshow.com and subscribe today. And if you want to reach us and you've got a very positive message that's full of love, you can reach me at jen@chatfieldshow.com.
And for all you guys that love to keep it real, you can reach me at jason@chatfieldshow.com.
Okay, into the chat room we go. I'm very excited. I've been waiting to have this guest on.
I'm very excited. I wasn't waiting, but I'm very excited right now. I'm gonna bust it out. I'm sorry. I'm taking over your spiel. We're bringing it. You can introduce it, but I'm going to give her the biggest, most important thing.
Okay.
A Walking Dead fan. I love
right.
it. All right.
That's right. Our guest, Dr. Milagros or Millie Rosales, is coming into the chat room. And not only is she an avid Walking Dead fan, but and a wonderful person, she is on social media at Got Itchy Pet. So you may know her as at Got Itchy Pet because she posts all kinds of incredible stuff for pet owners, for veterinarians, all kinds of great educational things on Instagram. And that's because she is a board certified veterinary dermatologist.
What
yes.
a fantastic handle.
Yes, it with a fantastic handle.
Get my phone and look it up right now. Got Itchy Pet.
I know. Everyone, get your phone out.
It's like a self-advertising situation, right? Like,
yeah,
got itchy pet. Everybody's got an itchy pet.
Anyway. I love it. And not only that, she has her own clinic, her own practice, and it's Miami Veterinary Dermatologist, I think. Yes. And if you go to her website, you will find out a couple of things. Number one, she hablas español, right?
Yes.
But not on our podcast because we don't.
She's laughing at the way you said that.
You mean because my verb tense was totally inappropriate and wrong? Sure.
It just sounded funny.
Okay. And you will see that her logo is a scratching dog. I mean, come on, people. This woman loves itchy pets. So welcome into the chat room. For the first time, we got a newbie, Dr. Rosales. Yay!
Thank you. Thank you, Jen and Jason.
Yes.
So glad to be here.
Yeah, no, thank you. We are very excited because we want to talk about one of the things that I know I see a ton of itchy pets, but I feel like I see just the tip of the iceberg for what you must see for itchy pets.
Probably. Is your handle Got Itchy Pet? No, I don't think so.
It is not. It is definitely not. But what I want to start with, we got to let people know who you are and kind of where you come from, besides the fact that you're an avid Walking Dead fan. So tell us, where did you go to vet school? Where'd you grow up? How did you decide that you like to fix itchy pets?
Yeah. So I'm from Miami. I've pretty much been here all my life. I did undergrad here in Miami, Florida International University, and then I went to vet school at the University of Florida. So I was there for 4 years, and honestly, after I was done with vet school, I really did not want to go back to school again, so I came back to Miami.
I hear that.
Yep. It was just a lot of schooling, so I did actually general practice in Miami for 3 years. And then in there, I just think it's the practice I was in. It was just really very busy, walk-ins. And I just honestly crazy, but in 3 years, I was starting to get burnt out.
Yeah.
walk-ins
will do that to you.
Yeah.
Well, especially in Miami, right? I mean, those of you that haven't been there, right? There's seemingly a clinic almost every other block, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are so many people crammed into a little area, mm-hmm. and Miami loves pets. They all have pets, and so they all go to the vet, which is, listen, I'm not complaining. That's great, but I'm just saying, absolutely can get,
Yeah,
overwhelming,
and hard, and tiresome, and a lot of stuff. So
yeah, the clinic I was in was nonprofit too. So you know, sometimes we would get some really tough cases, and because of donations, you know, sometimes you know we can cover a lot of the stuff where maybe this particular client, you know, couldn't in another clinic. So somewhere in there, you know, I really did love doing dermatology. You know, if it was a very complicated, maybe internal medicine case, I was always referring. So
yeah,
part of this too was like my knowledge only went so far. And so I wanted to really be really good at one thing. Mm-hmm. And I could say I didn't like surgery. I didn't like emergency. And I did not like euthanizing pets.
Yeah.
So I thought I love dermatology anyway, but it just fit well because I wasn't going to be doing, you know, emergency. I wasn't going to be doing surgery.
Yeah.
And you don't really euthanize in dermatology. So I looked into doing a residency, and at that time, you know, getting a residency is still pretty competitive, but it isn't like it is now. So I actually somehow, I will say this, I was very lucky. I went to visit, you know, I knew a lot of people at UF.
Uh-huh.
I still kept in contact with them. And I said, you know, I want to do derm. I'm just going to take like a year where I'm going to go visit all the places I want to apply to. And the first place I went to was UF right there. You know, it wasn't too far.
Yeah.
And it so happened it was their match week and they didn't match.
And, oh my gosh.
And it just, they knew me, you know, and they're like, do you want to apply? You know, we still need you to kind of go through the application process, you know.
But we're picking you.
Off match.
Yeah. They didn't match because you were already there. It wasn't an accident.
It kind of worked out, you know.
That's the universe taking care of you, man. That's what that is. Story. That's awesome.
So, yeah, that was it. It was a 2-year program. Then I came back here and decided to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And I took a chance. I wanted to try it and see if doing it on my own, I can make it happen. And it's, you know, it's worked out. So here I am now, like 15, 16 years later.
Yeah. That's
fantastic. What a great story. That's awesome.
It is. Yeah. But it does just go to show you that, just going to vet school isn't the end of it. Right. Like it doesn't make it all happy. And I love that you kept looking, that you said, this isn't for me necessarily, but pieces of it are. So
That's hard to do, right?
It is. Let me take a minute and think about what I want to do. And then you said, now I'm going to go find the best place for me.
What's cool is you were going to take more time and go find the best place for you at visiting them. That's really cool. I haven't heard that before. So it just so happened.
I'm going to take the year. Well, I'm going to still work, but 1 week out of every month, I'm going to go visit different locations.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I need to know which one's the right fit for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think they were very happy, but I needed to do it for myself. So I can make sure I'm in the right spot.
Mm-hmm. And what better place? What better place to learn about itchy pets?
I know. I feel so lucky because I know a lot of, you know, I know a lot of vets who really trying to get a residency and they can't. I know it's so competitive now. Mm-hmm. I mean, even now, you know, you have to do like a derm internship maybe to get it. So it's so much harder.
Chatterboxes, don't let Dr. Rosales mislead you. It was competitive then also.
Yeah. She's being a little humble there. It's always been competitive.
It was an incredibly competitive field. It still is competitive to get that residency in order to train to be board certified. So that's fantastic. So she is the person to see an itchy pet. That's a fact. And if anybody listening is in Florida, has ever traveled to Florida, is aware of Florida's geography and kind of place on the globe, everything grows well here and everything itches. Right. And so what a wonderful place to learn all about the different dermatological issues. So let's jump into it. We have some like very basic things we want to cover with you. Well, I think they're basic.
Not basic for me, probably basic for you, right? I'm like, hold on now. It's not basic. I want to know this stuff.
So here's my favorite thing. So right now I do relief work in general practice. And so I would be the one that, you know, would likely refer to Dr. Rosales, right? So I see stuff in it. And then when I can't fix it and I've already thrown everything at it, then you get it. You all have right. to start with, what have you already tried? Right. So she is the big gun to bring out for those pets. But I guess my favorite thing is when folks come in and say that their dog or cat is itching. And I say, first question for me is, what are you using for flea prevention? Right. In Florida. And my favorite is when they say, oh, no, they don't have fleas.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, like it's some kind of referendum on their. No, what are you talking about? My dog doesn't have fleas. Give me a break. That's for, right. That's for terrible owners, right?
So. Yes. And so for me, I'm like, oh, so you have a miracle house. Because in Florida, I mean, if they're not on flea prevention, they have fleas. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes. I mean, every dog, cat here should be on flea preventative. Even though they're indoors, you know, that's the other one that kind of have to struggle navigate. Trying to make clients understand that even though your pet is completely indoors,
completely
it can still
indoors,
get a flea. Right, yeah. And yeah, and it could be a cause of the itchiness. It's like, sure. I mean, I tell them it's the number one reason why a dog will be itchy. Like I need to make sure I rule that out.
Oh, yeah. That's excellent. The number one reason a dog will be itchy is fleas.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely. Like if they're here in Florida, I'm like, I need to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if maybe there's some other distributions, like, you know, maybe if it's a dog with really itchy paws and it's not itchy anywhere else. I mean, I don't really think that's a flea allergy,
right.
But regardless, you know, in the medical history, you know, or when they fill out their questionnaire, we always make sure, you know, it's good medicine. It's important mm-hmm. for your pet to be on flea prevention.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. it, like,
I,
tell me if this is correct, because I say it all the time. So like my fingers are crossed that it's totally correct. As I say, well, for me, it's fleas until it's not. Right. And so until I can be comfortable that you're using prevention religiously, that, you know, for a period of time, it's fleas.
Yes.
could it be fleas plus something else?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. It could be fleas and food, or really probably the most common is fleas and atopy or environmental allergies. I mean, that's probably the most common. And many times what I tell owners is, you know, maybe, yes, this is environmental allergies, but certain things will set off that allergy. And if your pet happens to be flea allergic, you know, he gets a flea bite and it just sets him off. Mm-hmm. And so, or just kind of aggravates more that itchiness. Yeah. So that's another reason why it's important they're on flea prevention.
Yeah. And wouldn't you hope it's fleas maybe? Because is that one of the easier
yes.
ones to sort of deal with, right?
Yes. And I say right? that to them, like, we hope it's fleas.
Right. Let's hope and pray that it's fleas
this.
Because other
yes.
stuff is, can be difficult
exactly.
and long, right? Yeah.
Exactly. I tell them environmental allergies, you know,
ooh,
it is not easy. It can be a challenge for many dogs. There's a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, it's hard to control what's going on environmentally, pollens versus mm-hmm. fleas. I can control that. You can control that.
Right.
Yeah, we have great stuff available to fleas should not be the problem anymore, right? We have really good
exactly.
stuff. So, okay, so folks, we're going to take a very quick break. And on the other side of that, we're going to talk about what she has mentioned a couple times, atopy. Ooh. Okay, so hang with us. We'll be right back.
With all the fuss happening in the pet food industry, why not invest in something to help guard against digestive health derangements in your pet? Full Bucket's probiotics are formulated by veterinarians to support your pet's normal digestive health. Your pet's gut microbiome is integral to their immune system performance. Why not add Full Bucket's daily dog or daily cat probiotic powder to your pet's daily routine? To curate, protect, maintain, and strengthen your pet's microbiome. Visit FullBucketHelp.com today to check out all of their veterinary strength supplements.
Hey, Jen, let's do this.
V's View from Vet School, brought to you by the AVMA Trust. Veterinarian-inspired coverage protecting you through it all.
Hey, guys. Welcome to V's View from Vet School. And this is my view. So today I thought we'd take a less serious route and talk about all those extracurricular things you can do in vet school, because you're going to have so much free time on your hands that you're going to need some extracurricular stuff to fill in the blanks. I'm totally joking. You will have no free time and you will have to make time for the fun stuff to make all the stuff you have to do seem bearable and tolerable. And to remind you that you're doing all this to do that fun stuff at the end. So the first thing is clubs. There are so many clubs, I can't even explain to you how many clubs there are. We had 29 clubs when I came into school, and I don't want to get this wrong, so hold on one second because I'm old. Let me get this. All right, there's a chicken club, there's a pig club, there's a cow club, there's a bovine club, there's a cat club, there's a Christian club, there's a pride club, there's an exotic club, there's a water exotic club, which is for like dolphins. There's an ortho club, and then we didn't have enough to choose from, so my classmates decided I'm going to make a radiology club, and there's a nutrition club. So, and if clubs aren't your things, that's okay. There's more stuff to do. You can volunteer for ICU rounds, or if you're really ambitious, you can go into politics. That's right. We can go into politics. You too can be the next Trump or Biden and run for class president, run for vice president, run for treasurer, run for, oh, and there's like 8 positions in your thing. There's like ethics people and code of conduct people that you elect. So there's all these extracurricular fun or working things that you can do to fill all that spare time in vet school. Just wanted to let you guys know there's more than just school. So this is V, and that's my view on vet school. Till next time.
V's View from Vet School, brought to you by the AVMA Trust. Veterinarian-inspired coverage protecting you through it all.
Hey, back here in the chat room, we're here with veterinary dermatologist extraordinaire, Dr. Millie Rosales. And we talked about fleas, which are the bane of some of our existence. And basically, friends, if your pets are not on flea prevention, get them on some good flea prevention. Talk to your veterinarian, get it through your vet. It works. And then you just don't have to worry about that.
I have a question.
Absolutely.
And since I have very few questions, right? We all stop, the whole world stops, and I get to ask it.
Right.
Like,
that's stop how the presses. Jason had a thought.
All right. So this is very apropos to what we're talking about and right on track. Okay. So, all right. When you're watching The Walking Dead, right? And you see all of these crazy skin things falling off, are you like in heaven or is it like gross you out? All right. I'm putting you on the spot. You like it or do you hate it?
No, I like it. I just think it's gross cool.
It's gross cool. I get it. As a dermatologist, I wasn't sure if you were like, oh, that poor guy must have had this. And that poor, I'm like, oh, look at that skin hanging off his cheek. I could see his teeth grow. Anyways, okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I've been holding on to that question for the last 20 minutes.
Okay. Got it out there. All right. Good show. All right. Apologies, yeah. Dr. Rosales. Okay.
Are you kidding me?
No. I'm just saying.
It's a good show and a good question.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about atopy, but then also a little bit later, I want to talk about people sometimes are afraid of MRSA and with their pet and kind of how that works. So let's talk about atopy. So if you have a dog, and actually cats can be atopic too, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we neglect cats all the time. So does everybody, right?
Like
only 20% of cats get brought to the vet on an annual
basis.
That's
just the way cats like it, though. So I kind of think they bring it upon themselves sometimes, right?
I don't know. There's some cats that like to go to the vet. Like, I met a lovely cat yesterday named Gentry. Shout out to Gentry.
Right.
She was lovely, and she must have been a dog cat because she didn't care she was at the vet. She was laying out on the exam table.
She owned the room there, huh?
She did. She had a very commanding presence. So cats can be atopic. So what does that mean? Like, what is atopy? Like, what does that mean?
So atopy is allergies to environmentals. So by that, I mean, pollen from trees. You could be allergic to the grass, weeds, dust mites, molds. So all this is in the air. It's not something they can see. Mm-hmm. And what we know now, it contacts their skin. It gets absorbed through their skin. And then it starts this whole, allergy process. Ugh. And It can manifest in many different ways, you know, being itching, licking, probably a big one that, you know, a lot of owners don't realize is ear infections. Chronic ear infections can be due to allergies.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So. Wait, stop. Cause that's going to like shake people's foundation right there. Seriously. Because yeah. So, if the dog comes in with chronic ear infections, just like, is it just ear infections or are they itchy everywhere else and chronic ear infections? Or when are we worried about this could be something bigger than just wet ears?
Right. So they can present with just ear infections and not affecting anywhere else on their body or their skin. They don't have to be itchy. Or they can have both. I see a lot of that where they're itchy, skin lesions, problems there. And then they also have ear infections, chronic ear infections.
Wow. Okay. So
that's not fair. That's too hard. Right?
I know. Like,
how is that fair?
No, I feel so bad for those dogs that have everything.
I'm talking about me, right? It's too hard on me. I feel bad for the dogs. Of course. I'm really, come on.
So that's super interesting because I had not considered. I mean, I tell a lot of pet owners who like the dog is itchy in other places, and you know they come in with kind of like that dry grease on their skins and maybe some little round lesions that are flaky. So and then they also have it. I look in the ears; they also have an ear infection that's cooking, right? And so I tell the owners, well, that's because it's the same skin that is in the ear canal. It's just wadded up into a little ball and stuck in there.
Awesome.
So it gets wet and it gets infected. But I had never considered, at the risk of appearing ignorant on the podcast, in the chat room, I had not considered that dogs that come in with just chronic ear infections and no other skin issue, they could be atopic. Wow.
Yes. So, I mean, the other differential is food allergy. So they can have a food allergy that could be causing their chronic ear infections. So that's another one to rule out.
Food
allergy is like a whole podcast by itself.
What do you remember about food allergy presentations? Do you remember anything about food allergy presentations?
I thought food allergy presentations were like feet and face or something like that.
And
that
rear, right? The flaming anus, right?
I blocked that out. That just sounded weird to me. So I didn't. Feet and face is what I got. I don't know about that.
Yes, and that is. That definitely is. That's two. But it can just be ears.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Wow. Again, dropping some serious knowledge here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So those dogs.
So atopy is fancy term for environmental allergy. That's really much. That's
it's allergic. Not like a, I think that. Yeah. That's kind of easy for clients to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't give up hope.
No. I think. But again, the big thing is looking for that, especially with ears. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty passionate about that subject. Is looking for that underlying cause. In certain breeds like Frenchies, bulldogs, they normally have narrowed ear canals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after just repeated insults in that ear, you know, just it can be really hard to get rid of their ear infections just because of the chronic damage they get on their ear canals.
Did you hear the breed that was number one on her mind, Jason?
I did. First one. She wanted to say 1A and 1B are Frenchies and French Bulldogs. That's what she wanted to say. But, you know, she didn't want to. She wanted to make you feel bad.
That's right. I appreciate that. But no, yeah, Frenchies. Frenchies can be, everyone knows the Farm Fresh Frenchie, Cosette. They can be a handful. So, yeah. So I think that's interesting. So what do you find? Because you see, I mean, obviously you see a lot more itchy pets than I do. And so do you find that that owners are frustrated? Are they upset? Or like, how do you find owners when they come to you finally?
They're frustrated. They're just frustrated. They just don't want to see their pets uncomfortable. Right. You know, whether it's, you know, just constantly itchy, maybe it's waking them up at night because they're sleeping with their pet, or, you know, maybe the pet is just very smelly, crusty, you know, so it's messy. And I think, you know, one part that maybe even, I'm not sure if vets realize, but it just breaks the human-animal bond. It's like these pets are maybe not touched and loved as much because they're just gross. Yucky.
Right.
Where they're outside now because it's messing up the house inside right. with all their skin lesions flaking off on the floor. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the big one. They're just really frustrated. They just want a solution quickly, yeah. which mm-hmm. sometimes I can't do that quickly. It's a process.
Yep.
So that's something else to, you know, make sure clients understand that, especially with allergies, it's mm-hmm. a process to yeah. figure out what allergy a pet has.
Yeah, I kind of feel some clients, you know, they watch too much TV, right? And it's not their fault. That's just what we throw at them. And they come in and say, hey, doc, just my dog's itchy here. Just run a test. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean I got to wait 6 weeks and see how it plays out? And I always ask them, I will run whatever test you want. You just name that test.
That's right.
and they kind of laugh about it. But you hear yourself going over and over and over and over that. And I mm-hmm. like to think that any of the clients I send to you are already going to have that information, but sometimes they don't always hear it. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's gotta be tough. It's gotta be tough on you, the dog, everybody involved. They can be really tough.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, which is why we said earlier, fleas would be great.
Yes. So. Fleas are easy. We can fix that. Right. So what is the process when they come to you and you're suspecting that they have some sort of allergy situation that's causing their skin to flare up? What's the process?
So process of figuring out allergies, you mean?
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a non-seasonal allergy. Mm-hmm. So it's like year round, which usually happens in Miami because we really don't have seasons here.
Yes.
So a big one, kind of like what we mentioned earlier, was, making sure it's not fleas, especially if this is a dog with generalized problems, like mm-hmm. everywhere all over its body, it's itchy. So it's got a lot of rear end itchiness, which is very mm-hmm. classic for fleas. We mm-hmm. want to make sure they're on good flea control. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is making sure they don't have a food allergy. So we have to go through a diet trial, which takes a while. It's not something that's going to be solved in a few days. Diet trials can be 2 to 3 months.
Is that before you see any response, or do you see some response after a month, but not resolution? Or because I get that question a lot from clients when I say, let's change the food. So how long do they have to feed the new food before they see any response?
So I would say by 6 weeks, I mean, we're progressively, they're going to see their pets get better, but I would say by you're getting to 6 to 8 weeks. And I think there was a study that's when they looked at a bunch of dogs that were food allergic, usually by that 6 to 8 week mark, they're really making a turn. They're like 80% or more better.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of my point too with clients. Like, I don't want them to feel like, 3 months. I mean, it's going to really be 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, we're checking in on them. They're coming in for a recheck. And mm-hmm. really by that 6 to 8 week mark, as long as they've been very strict on the food, mm-hmm. they really should be seeing significant improvement.
Yeah. Okay. So we eliminate fleas. You do potentially a food allergy trial, a food trial.
Right.
And then when do you get to all the pricks?
Right. Okay. So let's say they fail the diet trial. They show no improvement. Mm-hmm. Then that's when we talk about, what are your options for environmental allergies? Mm-hmm. And that's when we recommend allergy skin testing. So that's like the skin prick test. Mm-hmm. The point of the test is to see what exactly it is the pet's allergic to, mm-hmm. so that we can formulate immunotherapy or, you know, an allergy vaccine. And I always try to make the analogy to like human medicine.
Yeah.
Because kind of clients understand that and probably even themselves are like, oh yeah, I remember going to my allergist and getting a skin prick test. And when I was a child, I was on vaccines.
Yeah.
So the same thing we can do for a pet. And mm-hmm. it is really the best long-term solutions or therapy that we have for environmental allergies, because it's really giving the pet's body a chance to sort of learn kind of how to tolerate or desensitize itself to its allergies. Mm-hmm. But it's not for everybody. I mean, some clients, either it's too expensive or they just don't want to dedicate the time to vaccines, which is fine. But then the alternatives are allergy drugs now, like, I'm sure everybody's heard of Apoquel, Cytopoint.
Yeah.
So those are allergy drugs that a pet could be on long term to manage the environmental allergy.
Yeah. And so beyond that, there's another option. And I guess, what do you feel about the kind of the blood testing for allergens versus the skin test? I mean, obviously you do the skin test, right? You like that one, but you know, there's that option to just draw some blood and send it out.
Right. And I think it has value. Where it has value is once you've done this whole process where, yes, you ruled out flea as a cause of allergies, you ruled out food, and really the only thing left, so again, it's a process of elimination, but the only thing left is that it's environmental allergy.
Uh-huh.
And then, okay, now we're going to do a blood allergy test. And the purpose of it, again, is still for immunotherapy. Where there's the error is that the pet comes in for the first visit and gets a blood allergy test done, and still hasn't had flea allergy ruled out or food allergy ruled out.
Okay.
Where that blood test is used for diagnosis, and that's incorrect. The test is really for therapy. And so I think the blood allergy test has definitely some value as long as it's how it's used correctly.
Okay, but that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a tool, but it is not.
It has to be used the right way.
Yeah, not for diagnosis. Yeah. It's a tool to develop the therapy once you've made the diagnosis.
I have a quick question about food allergy. I know there's nothing quick about food allergy, but I'm sure because a lot of clients will come, friends actually, not necessarily clients, friends. Hey, I know my dog's got, and they all growl like this. I'm just have weird friends.
Yes,
I know my dog's got a food allergy. What do I do? Right, and so I have to go to the and I don't. I'm not you. I don't even know what I'm talking about, and I'm trying to recall stuff I learned in school several years ago. But I still gotta sound smart to these guys. Anyway, so you just said after one food trial, you go, you know, you possibly go to the allergy testing. Is that true? Do you find the owners have good compliance, or do you and you check? Okay. I'm going to feed this food. It's got this novel protein. That's all they're going to get. And if it doesn't get better with this, then I immediately go to this allergy testing. Or do you sometimes have to go to another protein, another novel protein? Like I thought maybe you'd have to go one to two, but I don't know.
By the time they get to me, I mean, they're frustrated and I probably on average, I will just do one. But if suspicious, like a dog with perineal itchiness, and I know it's not fleas, I'm like, maybe this novel protein didn't work. Right. Maybe I need to do hydrolyzed, you know? So if I'm going to do a second diet trial, it's got to be different. So I probably wouldn't, if I did novel, then I'm going to do hydrolyzed, or I may have the owner do home cooked.
Yeah.
You know, something different.
I guess if the clients are coming to you, you can pretty much, you just kind of hope for their, I mean, I think compliance is a big issue at the first step because, oh no, I only gave him one or two pieces of his favorite treat. That's not going to affect anything. And when it really does kind of blow the whole test up, or could blow the whole test up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're probably not going to do that with you.
Yeah. And I think by the time they get to us, they're ready to.
Right. Committed. They're going to follow the rules.
They're committed.
They're committed.
I do see, and because we review medical records, and I do see, you know, referring that's advised food trials, and they have started it, and they, you know, when we ask them further questions, well, yeah, it wasn't really that strict, you know, I did this, I'm like, well, that could have been making your dog still allergic. We need to stop that.
Right. It's hard. To their defense, it's hard for them to sort of grasp, right? And it's just because it's a hard concept that one little treat one time can kind of blow it up. So
We make the peanut analogy, like peanut allergies to people. They don't need a bowl of peanuts to flare up anaphylaxis. Like they just need a sliver of a peanut, and so we make that analogy.
Some of them
they
just have to walk by a peanut, right?
So right.
Think about peanuts. Oh my gosh, can't breathe. Anyway, I don't want to make fun of it, but that's really scary, right? So it's a good analogy.
It is a good analogy. It is.
And then we check up on them a lot. So I'll have my staff call 2 to 3 weeks after the diet trial. Hey, how's it going? Is everything going well?
Checking in.
So we're doing a lot of, you know, callbacks, checking in, you know, just kind of reminding them. Like right now, my big thing is, hey, Thanksgiving's coming up. Hey, you know, think of what you're going to do. If you have family at home, put your dog in another room. Like, everything is going well. You know, let's not cause a big break now that Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yeah. So do you see like a big rush of flares in your allergy dogs when after the holidays?
With food trials? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Yes.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yes. I love it. Oh, yeah. My God. That's so funny. Yeah. For those of you who are not watching the video, Dr. Rosales's face changed. Oh,
completely.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
Yeah. Gotta watch the video to get the gist of that.
I know. I love that. That's fantastic. So when I still hear like the cornerstone is getting rid of those ectoparasites, right? The fleas. Because if your dog has fleas, they're gonna itch. You can't even start to think of anything else until you get rid of that. Is it wrong for us? Because a lot of times clients, when they come to me, I can only imagine it must be really significant when they come to you, because they must be, you know, they're more frustrated by the time I have failed and had, you know, and I've referred them to you, because most clients don't go right away. Like, I'll say, this looks hinky, head to the dermatologist, right? But they don't always. So do you do anything to kind of put the fire out that day, you know, because the dog's uncomfortable?
Are you tiptoeing around something there, Dr. Jen?
I am.
That sure sound, doesn't it sound like you tiptoeing around that injection that might happen?
That S word. Yes.
That maybe a dermatologist just doesn't want to talk about the four-letter word called Dex? Oh, no, sorry. No. I didn't say that. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, because clients, like, you know, God bless the internet. And so pet owners they're rightfully worried, and they want to avoid long-term steroid use in their pets, which I love, because that's bad. But in my practice, not all steroids are bad, because they have their place. And I mean, if the dog is chewing his skin off because he's so miserable, then, you know, I give a short acting steroid so that, like, we put the fire out. So I guess I'm asking,
it's so funny to listen to you. I'm sorry. It's so funny to listen to you kind of defend your actions, because you're talking to someone who you think you're going.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, we're having an argument here. But listen, are steroids the devil, is what you want to know. Are they the devil or not? I mean, answer it right now. Solve the debate.
That's
don't listen to Jennifer's bias. Are they the devil, or are they having a place?
No, they have their place.
It's not so bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have their place. I think it's, if it's used properly and dosed properly, they have their place. I don't really use it that often. You know, when they come in, yes, they're extremely itchy. Right. And I could tell you the majority of the time it's because they're infected. They have a bacterial infection, and I see a lot of yeast or Malassezia.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's because we do the skin cytology, right? So pet owners, when your vet says they want to do ear cytology or skin cytology, say yes to the slide. So we can know what we're doing. Yes.
Go. Yes, yes. It's
lots
funny.
Of yeast.
I'm on TikTok and I did a video about that.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yeah, I did a little video about them. Like, if your vet needs to do diagnostics to tell you what's wrong, you cannot say no. It's just really very hard to kind of guide, you know, treatment. But so I will say the majority of the time, once we get them on their antibiotic, their antifungal medicine, that itchiness subsides very quickly, like in a week to maybe 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So depending on the case, I might tell an owner, hey, take these antimicrobials first. I'm going to call you in a week. And if your pet is still miserably itchy, okay, I'll add on maybe a steroid for a few days. Mm-hmm. Or I will do Apoquel. I'll do Apoquel. Mm-hmm. So one thing, I guess, that I'm, first of all, we do have clients who absolutely don't want steroids. They are just opposed to it.
They're terribly afraid of it.
And I run into those too. And I'm like, well, you're telling me the two things that are mutually exclusive from in my world, which is you want your pet to stop itching right now, today.
Right.
Yeah. Today, like by tonight, you want to sleep good because your pet's not shaking the bed itching. Right. But you don't want any steroids. I'm like, I don't have another drug besides just a short acting pop of a low dose in conjunction with other appropriate treatment that puts the fire out.
Right. You know? Right. And that's the thing. That's the thing. Cause, right. What's going to happen is if there is infection and you don't provide an antimicrobial or they don't say they don't want to take it, then yeah, they're going to be relieved for a day or two.
And but then they're itchy. Back. Yeah. Right. And they're still smelly and they're still greasy. And
so,
All right. So good. So not the devil. Just be careful.
Yeah. Just be careful. The other thing too, that steroids could do is that, you know, they're wonderful and they'll take inflammation away quickly, the redness away quickly. They'll stop itching and then the owners think, oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then they'll just stop all meds.
Right?
And
then
that's where the other problem is at too, where they'll stop an antibiotic prematurely. They won't bathe anymore. Mm-hmm. And maybe their dog is fine for a few weeks and then boom, it comes back.
Blows up again. And, and so that's why I also, they have to like take the pledge, the Dr. Jen, the vet pledge, I promise I will give all medication as directed and finish it. And then if they don't, then when they call back, I say, look it, you didn't do what you promised you would do. And now we're here again.
I promise you, she does say that.
Look it to her clients.
It's like, that's what she's trying to tell them. You're doing bad. Look it.
But I also tell them when they're doing awesome and they're gold star. Like, I'm like, gold star for you.
Yeah.
You know, you're a great owner. You came early this time. You know? So,
you know, I bet the cases that you saw, we all like to be hero, right? Let's be honest. We all love it when the dog feels better. You patch up the leg, right? I bet those chronic skin cases that resolve, I bet they just shower you with love and affection. You get to be superhero. I bet that feeling is
fantastic. Isn't that wonderful, Dr. Rosales? Yeah. Do you feel that way?
Yes.
You saw some of the hardest stuff, the longest lasting, most visible, right? Manifest in the most extreme way, and you get to solve it. So,
I look forward to some of those really bad cases to come back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, so-and-so's coming back. I can't wait to see. And then my tech comes and she's like, look at him, doctor.
Oh, that's so great.
We're like jumping. We're so excited.
Aw. And then, but when they first walk in, do you think to yourself, oh, I'm going to fix this? Like, you know, like dog has like no hair. The cat has like blood on their face from scratching their ears and stuff. And you're like, oh, y'all just wait. Let me go put my cape on because I'm going to fix this.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she walks around with a cape. It's more like, let me take my cape off and get to get down and dirty.
That's right.
Cool.
Love that. I love that. Okay. So we're coming to the end of our time with the incredible Dr. Millie Rosales at Got Itchy Pet. And so here's where we like give our guests an opportunity to say, like, what is the one thing or the top two things you wish every single pet owner? And then actually for you, you also get the other category of general practitioner. What do you wish that every pet owner knew, the one thing, and then what do you wish that every like referring vet knew or would do? And I'm putting her on the spot, folks. I didn't prepare her for this.
Never so just does. She just
the
loves
first thing
this,
that pops in your head and you're like, oh my gosh.
So the one thing
say,
I wish.
She's going to say, don't give steroids to the
No, the one thing I wish pet owners knew, I do get a lot of referrals. So, I mean, they did see their general vet first. So, of course, following through on their general vet's recommendations, with using medication appropriately or, you know, what we talked about with flea control. And then that goes to general vets, you know, like it's easier for me if they've already done good flea control, probably already done a good diet trial.
Okay.
And then all I got to do is if I just see a bunch of Adopi dogs that I got an allergy test, it's easier.
Right. That's wonderful. Okay. So I'm taking notes, Dr. Rosales. I'm like, okay, got to get the diet. I don't do the diet trial very often. I got to add that in.
If it's a non-seasonal periodic dog or cat, then it's really important to rule that part out. And then that goes back to clients like, follow through on your vet when they say the flea control, when they say the the diet trial. I mean, it is expensive to see a specialist. Mm-hmm. So some of that stuff can be done already with your general vet. And then if they refer you for an allergy test, then, mm-hmm. That it ends up not being as expensive as having spent
know,
4 to 6 months with me trying to, fix some issues.
Sort it out. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. How fantastic. That's excellent advice for both pet owners and for referring veterinarians who are listening in. Right? Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful. All right. I do feel a little bit like we shouldn't waste, she speaks the Spanish, right?
give me a
break. I mean, could she say something? I just feel like you should say something to our bilingual listeners, our bilingual chatterboxes. Anything?
Yeah, and what would that one sentence in Spanish be?
What would it be?
Or a phrase, or a paragraph, or,
It could be, watch The Walking Dead, it'll change your life. Anyway. No, it won't? I mean, come on, it's great.
Well, I will tell you that, this is a little bit of a tangent here, but my first practice that I owned was an emergency practice, and it was on the border.
In Texas.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so
not Alabama. There, so.
At the time, I could talk to you in Spanish all about parvo, all about treatment, all about, vomiting and diarrhea. I could talk about all of it, and all my things were bilingual, but I found that clients that came in that maybe spoke some English, but they were much more comfortable in Spanish. As soon as I spoke to them like a toddler in Spanish, I sounded like a toddler. They did not. Then it was so much easier. Of course I got over being embarrassed about my level of Spanish being that of a 4-year-old, and was much better at it at the time too. And so, I hope that your clients, when they come to you and you can speak Spanish with them and talk maybe with them about their pet and something that's more comfortable for them, I hope they realize that if their veterinarian doesn't speak Spanish, it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with not wanting to see them or their pet.
I mean, if you know Miami, I feel like everybody here does speak some Spanish.
Well, now
more
that
than
I
the
left,
bad words.
Right. Now that
the
I left.
The bad words.
Right. Well, listen, now that I left, everybody probably does speak Spanish. When I was there, you couldn't say everybody.
There's text. So. But just explaining the complexity of Adopi in Spanish, I think it does help for some.
Right.
Without
a doubt, I'm sure it does. So I love that. And I feel like you should get up to Central Florida more often. So get yourself a location up here.
Yeah, get a fifth practice or sixth practice and come on up here.
Clone myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
No,
hello.
just work 8 days a week. I don't really understand what's so hard.
I don't know what the problem is here, right? Anyway, we're just joking along here, Dr. Rosales. We love you. We so much appreciate you coming into the chat room and talking with the chatterboxes all about itchy pets. You guys should check her out on Instagram and on TikTok. Apparently at Got Itchy Pet. And then what's your website for your practice? Because there's a lot of good information on your website too.
It's miamivetderm.com.
Okay, we're going to put a link in the show notes. So don't drive off the road if you're driving and listening. We'll put a link in the show notes to that. We'll put her Instagram handle on there. So you guys should check her out and show her some love. Give her some hearts.
Hang on. I'm very, shocker, out of touch. Big shock here. Is Instagram the same handle as TikTok? Typically, or it's a whole different platform. So is your TikTok handle the same?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Maybe I'm not so out of touch. All right.
No, it's handy if you can have the same handle across platforms.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Jen the Vet.
I don't have one. Don't even,
I'm at Dr. Jen the Vet. She's at Got Itchy Pet. And you are?
Crickets.
Dr. Jason. You're Jungle Island Doc.
Oh yeah, but that not that anymore. So I don't
have. You gotta change your handle. Okay, all right. So anyhow, I'm still at Dr. Jen the Vet. She is still at Got Itchy Pet.
And I'm still Dr. Jason Sands. Any kind of social media handle.
Excellent. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Chats with the Chatfield.
This episode is sponsored by Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements. Use promo code CHATFIELDS to receive 20% off your first order from Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements.